Hello, and welcome to Socially Savvy. I'm your hostess, LB Duchess. Due to some technical difficulties, we will be joining our one-year show in progress. Enjoy and have a socially savvy week.
Somebody's actually been cheating. like you can walk up and go, oh, please,
I go, get out. Well, I have my way. But, you know, I mean, we're here to make sure everyone has a fantastic experience from start to finish. And I just think sometimes people think that because I made a reservation a certain time period or so many weeks ago, that immediately on a busy Friday night, there's no room for, you know, a 5 or 10 minute, you know, leeway, when really if we're in a very fluid business, you know, it's just food and booze, relax, have a good time, and, you know, go out and enjoy yourself. That's what we're here for, you know.
Yeah.
Food's already gone, the plates are gone, the glasses are gone, they're just chatting. You have to, like, kind of quietly hint, just like, thank you.
Well, it's really hard to do that because you know, you want people to come back, you want people to feel comfortable that they're going to walk over the sound and everything's going to come through. They want to come back. That's what we talk about today. Mm-hmm. People are afraid of it.
That's a big thing, too, is that trust me, the restaurateur, that I'm going to teach you in a way that is going to provide you with the best service possible. I'm not going to completely inundate a server with 5, 6 tables right at the start, which means that I'm going to hold you back for 5 minutes so that you can have a fantastic experience. Trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You know, as long as they acknowledge you, that's the other thing, that's part of the reservation. Like some other restaurants, you know, you'll stand there and they'll kind of wave the thing at you. Some better restaurants, they'll go, yeah, we'll be right there, you know. Like you said earlier, your table's just not quite ready yet, we'll get right back.
Well, you know, that's a good tip for those restaurants who maybe aren't running at the upper class or higher class level that you guys are. If you're a server, if you're a manager, we'll think that understand that communication is everything. Mm-hmm. If you know your friends, don't think, you know, oh, I'm going to talk to them on my credit, more of a problem. No, just go over, just 5 seconds, hey, we're a little bit behind, we'll get you seated as soon as possible. You would be amazed at how much grace people will give you when you communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any, I'm looking at a couple of our solos here, and we're looking for, we've got several stories for acceptable, personally acceptable, and acceptable, there's some stories that happen around the world.
Want to start? Anybody else want to start?
Brian.
Well, going back to what you guys were just saying, if you're on a time frame, and it's really important to you, so you're going to be moving or something like that, there's a lot of fast food places out there that'll serve you in a very timely manner, and you can eat in your car. But if you're coming to an establishment like this, expect to take some time and enjoy yourself, because that's what they're here to do. Give you an experience that you're not going to get from a fast food place.
I know, I'm excited. So we need you to tell a story so we can get some food served up, so then we can tell about it.
I guess some of my stories can stem from my personal servings in the restaurant industry. Mine would be more of, you know, if you're having problems with maybe your time frame isn't working out because you find it bad and you're expecting fast service at a place that you need to go and enjoy yourself and dine at and take in the experience. Don't take that out on the server. Just recently saw a posting on a from somebody that got a tip on a $135 bill for $1.17 and a little note saying getting their job. And coming from the service industry, you don't want to mess with the people that mess with your business. Something like that. That is the most wrong thing to do, because these people are the ones that are serving you and your potential job to come out here and expect to be, serviced by a butler or something like that. It's not what it is. They're doing their job to help you enjoy your night, and they work really hard. After being in this industry, servers are very underappreciated and work some of the hardest out of anybody I know in the service industry.
Oh, yeah. It's something that, we're in business. I, work behind the line, and, the stress level is really high. That's helped me in business, where it's like, you take it, and everybody's like freaking out, and they're like, oh my God, it's like, take it down a little. But,
and the other thing, too, because I've been on the other end of receiving not just poor service, but very frustrating service. And I have been known a couple times to leave a quarter so that they can call somebody who is going to care about their, whatever it is, their brother, sister, mama's baby. One of the things I try to say is you've got to have balance. If you're in the service industry, you have to remember you're there to serve. So you need to leave your baggage at the front. If you can't, then the only thing that I say is then you need to go home, because you're only going to hurt the store. Now, in that whole scenario, if it really is that really bad service, or they're ignoring you, or they're being rude, you need to step up and you need to talk to management. You need to give them a chance to make it right, because 9 times out of 10, that's the management is all about the whole experience.
Yeah.
And if they don't know about it, they can't fix it.
Speaking of, they don't know about it, a perfect story. So I was at another restaurant in Seattle, my wife and I, and we're, they come by, they're prompt, and say, how are you, for the water. Except the waiter had this big gash on his finger, this big red Narnia-looking thing, and he's just right there in your face, and you're just like, ooh. And, you kept looking at him, tried the hint, and finally I had to go grab the manager and say, that guy over there needs a Band-Aid, or something, and of course the manager was like, whoop, what, whoop. Went over there, and next thing you know, he's got a Band-Aid, and, if you don't be afraid to say something, And if they end up getting mad at you, I don't want to see that person. I think that's totally unacceptable.
Well, that goes right into another socially unacceptable.
Oh, sure.
Remember, I think it's hard when you are the one who's working really hard, and maybe you're having an off day, and you happen to be a service, so you're always giving everything every day. But in the back of your mind, you have to remember that these people are willing to pay money not to do dinner themselves, or not to make food themselves. And one of my favorite stories is, for me, when I go out, I don't pay you to get a buzz on. I am paying money. Understand, I'm paying money to get intoxicated. So anything you do to mess up that intoxication is a waste of my money and going to make me very, very angry. I will have my angry eyes on. So, yes. So there is that very precarious balance. You've got to understand if there's an issue or something, take it off the floor, make sure that the people that you're serving don't see it. There's a lot of a little bit of a balance in there. And I know, Corey, you've been in this industry long enough to probably see it all.
Well, I've really lucked out, though. The company I work for is a service restaurant. They're really focused on, courtesy, honesty, and respect. They know service inside and out, and they've taught me and trained me. Some of the things you guys are talking about, I'm sitting here cringing, and it's like, just because I don't necessarily, I have the power behind me to make sure that the guest experience is always absolutely perfect, and I don't have to deal with being kind of in a position where I can't make it happen, So,
I think that's what
rest assured, you're going to be very well taken care of in this restaurant, and we're very, very gracious to our guests. But,
that's one of the things, when we especially study from them, is because we've done homework in the show, and that's why we're so excited to come in here, because not just the food, but the service, and just the overall feel is so different than what Redmond has known for others to do.
I really think that the main thing that runs a restaurant successfully is energy, is the fact that you don't take yourself so serious, know what good food is, know how to have fun, know how to treat your employees well, where they're happy at their job, and they go out and they're taking care of the guests, knowing that they're going to make a fair wage or a good wage, and give them food that they can be excited about, like what we have in front of us. Do you guys want me to talk about this?
Yes,
go for it.
Perfect segue for the food that was, because there is some beautiful food in front of us.
Right.
And I'm just like confident to be here.
As my, you know, I got down here and we did good food. I got down here about 4 or 5 months ago, and I was really fired up to work with Chef John Price. I had worked with him at Daniel's Broiler down at Lush Eye, and I'll quote him. He says, "I want to put food on the plate that's jiggy." You know, and it's stuff that you eat it with your eyes before you eat it with your mouth, and this is exactly what we've accomplished here. So the first one is what Jason's digging into, the filet carpaccio. We use filet mignon. Chef John, he sears the outside of it. You know, usually it's typically completely raw, but he likes to sear the outside of it, get a little bit of a season, and also put a nice color on the filet. And then your traditional accoutrement, you have caramelized onions. We grate that Parmesan Reggiano fresh. Little capers and the crostinis, and then you kind of just make an open-faced sandwich with crostini and that blue cheese, horseradish aioli. We put this on the menu about a month and a half ago. It catapults it to the number one seller in a heartbeat.
So not surprised.
It's your hobby and your meat. So, good.
On the carpaccio, guys, for foodies, it's spread out kind of fan-shaped. It's got your little amount of what he said. What's nice about this, I'm a fan of carpaccio a lot. Some carpaccio is slightly frozen, mm-hmm. and when it's done that way, it comes out as a little bit watery. This is not watery at all. This is very, you know, it's cold with the warm outside, but it's not that wet, soggy that you might find some other restaurants. So you got to let you know.
Oh, yeah,
but if you guys were here, you'd be able to taste it yourself. So, think about it next time.
I was going to say, all of our socially savvy listeners,
the key joint is a very sharp blade on your cutter. So, the other thing that I thought about when I got down here was that we had a really nice calamari on the menu. It was a fried calamari, and I thought to myself, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't think Italians really fry anything. And I've had some fantastic calamari that were sautéed, and I wanted one on our menu. And so we sautéed the calamari. It's a really quick flash sear. You can overdo this really quickly and make it a rubbery dish. But it's in a really rustic tomato broth. A lot of like roasted garlic shallots are in the broth. And what I recommend is you take that roasted garlic shallot and kind of spread that on the crostini, and then put the calamari on top, and it's just outrageous.
Okay, I'm going to hand you my plate, and I'm going to have you do that.
Okay.
I'm going to take my carpaccio little sandwich off the top, because
it's wonderful.
Really good.
So, and it's very true about, you know, calamari. You know you're at a great restaurant, or a good restaurant that does it right, is that, you know, you don't want to be chewing on rubber bands. And that's the thing that what some restaurants overdo it. They think, oh, I've got to cook it till it's done. You know, whether it's fried.
I can't do the rubber bands.
No. Whether it's fried calamari or sauteed. And he's right, you know, a lot of times they don't really deep fry it. There's some things they do, just depending on the region. But this dish looks wonderful. It's sitting in a bowl. It's got a little light tomato sauce. It looks beautiful.
One of the things that I really admire about the way the even the presentation of the food here has changed is that it reminds me a lot of like Top Chef type of things. You're seeing that I think a lot of people forget that food is very visual for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That first, I mean, color, texture, those all factor into what it is that's going to be appealing to us. And the presentation is just simple, elegant, and of course the flavor follows through with being delicious.
You know, one of the best things about this business is when I sit back in the kitchen with John and we create these dishes, and then I see them go out to the table, and that moment when you set it down and you get someone, you just see a mouth that they go, wow.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. That's enough said. That's all the reassurance I need to know that we're doing a good job. You know? One of my favorite dishes, and it's not typically, from Italy, but it's just something that I just absolutely love, and I think it's vibrant and fresh, and I have a patio, and I have some fantastic white wines that are bright and crisp. It's just prawn ceviche, and we enzymatically cook it in lime juice, and chop up the prawns. It's got a little tomato, red onion, cucumber, and then it's got to have cilantro in there, and it's served in a martini glass over avocado, a little endive. The endive story. We use the endive as the vessel.
Oh, okay.
The endive spear out, we fill it up, and then just use that as a vessel. And it's.
I've only had it once, and it was one of the best.
You gotta try this. You're gonna fall in love with it. And then
six
Sauvignon Blanc, nice sunny day out on the deck, happy hour, and you're gonna fall in love.
Speaking of the deck, they have a kind of an outside seating right in front, right? And it's even got, because of our cold weather here in Washington, they've also got heaters. So you can come out here and it's covered, and you can enjoy the nice cooler air if you like those cooler nights.
I haven't opened it yet.
Ah, it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's
a beautiful deck. The entire front wall to the restaurant opens up as well, kind of accordion doors. The restaurant has a really fun feel during warm days. Completely open air restaurant, and the deck is just really inviting, and you can come in and out. And we're wrestling with some other live music type things maybe during the. I'll keep you posted, obviously.
I figured you would.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before we get to having you tell us about the tent, what we're doing I wanted to tell one of the stories we asked our socially savvy listeners to give us socially acceptable and unacceptable stories that happened to them. We're talking about them on air. So, what it is to be socially savvy is like to talk to life, just like our hands. Our cell phones need to be regularly phoned and be classified. Order yours today at www.topquest.com.
It works really well.
You can tell me what I do with them. I clean my phone and then I clean my computer with it.
Yep.
I get another. Double
so that tells you that they're not that high in alcohol, you know, like some of those other ones are.
Yeah, and they're made for electrical equipment.
Yep.
Okay, so the first socially savvy listener story is a socially unsavvy. This listener writes in, I had a business partner who one day, and unannounced, decided they no longer wanted to work, and absorbed all the credit for the progress he had made for them. I think it's one of the things that is really is in this day and age when people don't have really any accountability. They're kind of wishy-washy. If you don't set up parameters, you're going to set yourself up together. And how the whole socially savvy thing came about was because there were no parameters, and we went back to the Emily Post dot process and went back to common courtesy. You know, what is being socially savvy? Socially savvy is when you're out in public, people want to be around you. That means sometimes you keep your opinions to yourself. That means you make sure that the people that are standing in front of you are somewhat comfortable. If they're not, then you aren't being savvy, and you can't complain when nobody wants to be around you. It's not their fault, it's yours.
That means for me, don't give me too many drinks and ask me personal questions that try to or ask my opinion on you, I guess. Not
yeah,
you personally, but
that's a tricky one.
You know, I get really opinionated, especially after a few drinks, and I'm not really afraid to speak my mind. So be careful what you ask.
It is well, yeah. I think we covered some of that in socially savvy drinking.
Yeah.
When you're drinking, yes, you have to be very aware that people are, in fact, getting intoxicated, and you have to allow
them. Definitely, you know, we definitely have long, it was actually an entire show on that.
Yeah. Yeah, we loved it.
Well, I always walk thin lines on that because it's part of my job, so I really have to walk on eggshells all the time when I'm out and about.
Well, and I think it's hard because we get caught up in having a good time, and I think it was last week's show where we support socially
sensitive. Drinking?
Yeah,
last time.
Okay, and we were talking a lot about, you know, obviously don't waste my money, don't ruin my buzz. But at the same time, one of the last topics we covered was it is socially established, it is socially acceptable to say no to somebody trying to buy you a drink. Because a lot of times you need to understand,
it's
a wonderful gesture. Say, you know, can I take a rain check? Because towards the end of the night, people engage themselves, and you don't want to guilt them into something that is going to maybe put themselves in jeopardy, or maybe put them in a place where they're saying something you really don't want to hear.
Most of the time, I actually respect the person that declines a drink because it shows me that they know themselves and are kind of watching themselves and not going to be something that they can hear about them.
Yeah.
Probably quite a bit of that. Okay, and then in the response to that, one of the other listeners came back with, I think it's very socially unsavvy to take credit on someone else's idea. I hate people who do this. Karma always fights and when I get to watch them burn and ask for help. I am deaf here with a smile. That's a little harsh, but I completely get where they're coming from. You know, there's a lot of people out there who want to try to take credit or they'll, like one of the things, one of our listeners, I think Corey was like, I've died, I want to say no. One of our listeners actually made a comment where they said they don't want to be tagged anymore. because people are saying, oh yes, I would deal with so-and-so, and they're pretending that they're, especially because they're at the same location with somebody, that they're actually, you know, running with the pack, or they're cool, or they're hanging with this person. It's like, you know,
look at me, look at me.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to kind of pull off of somebody else.
What? You mean I can't say I was here with you?
You can say you're here because you're cool. You're cool.
Yeah, no.
I don't know this person yet. We've got
I know.
Show. Oh, I did.
Oh, Valeria did. So, speaking about, if we took a quick chat on that, how do you feel about, as a restaurateur, feel about those check-ins with Foursquare or Facebook where they have, like, the app, you know, where it's like, well, if you check in 5 times, you get a free app.
I love it.
You do?
I love it. I don't want to manage it.
So.
But I'll be honest, I check into Foursquare every time I'm going to work. I'm still not the mayor. Why or how? But I check in just to see if I can't recognize the people that checked in, just so I can go up and make mention of it and maybe buy them an apple pie or something. I have at other restaurants I've worked at put the blast out there. It's like, hey, come in and check in at Foursquare, free appetizer on the and they end up getting one or two people to come out. And I think that. Because I'm a larger restaurant than that, it's more fun to kind of do it that way.
Yeah.
If I can seek out the guests that I see the picture and do something special for them, that just kind of confirms their whole reason why they checked in. Maybe they'll come to the restaurant again.
I wanted to ask you, as a general manager of a restaurant, a lot of times, you know, there's people come in and they have, well, there's restaurants that are friendly and there's restaurants that are not so friendly. And, you know, for a lot of people's experience, when they're fine dining restaurants, you know, it can be uncomfortable to with a couple bring in fries and things like that. And all that, you want to know, you know, how you handle it.
Number one, I have kids. I love kids. This restaurant is kid friendly. You know, if you can connect with a child, like, you make friends with parents for life. When it comes to, like, crying children in general and behaving in a restaurant, that's probably one of the most touchy situations you can get out there. If we're talking socially, sadly, just understand that people are going out to dine and enjoy themselves. And although we have an undying love for our children,
we do.
Listen to them, but I had quietly and calmly gone up and recommended or suggested that the lobby is available until the child calms down. Or a lot of times, I'll go out of my way to bring crayons or crackers or something to just kind of occupy the child right away, and the parent usually will really kind of appreciate that as well. But it comes with the territory. You know, we're in a people business, and people have children, and the bottom line is. That's a fun part of
the business.
Yeah.
One thing I like with the, you know, if you're not wanting to be around kids, it looks like you guys always have full service at a bar.
Correct.
If you're of age, go to the bar. It's just you and your significant other have to be seated at the bar, because then you won't be around kids, guaranteed. And that's just a good way to get around it.
Well, and I know the way you guys separated out here, it is really nice. We, because you have both, you know, places for kids and not kids, we have some social gatherers that are like, hey, can we bring our kids? And they did. So we seated them at a table just on the bar so they could enjoy their experience and we could enjoy the bar. I think a lot of it really just comes down to communication. You know, if we've got a crying baby, you know, if you were out eating, you have to think about it. How would I feel? You know, just put you in an airplane. Take the baby somewhere so everybody else can have it.
On that side note, too, if you're out having a romantic dinner and you're going to a large, loud place, you might want to reconsider your options.
Yeah, consider the environment. Know what you think about the environment and make it accountable for
your purchase. Right. I have a big restaurant, and when it gets loud and noisy and it's busy and full, and someone says, boy, it's really loud in here, but I'm not going to apologize. Those are the headaches I want as a restaurateur. I'm sorry. Restaurant's full. That's great. I'm doing my job. Right. And I have all those restaurants in my little book, you know, at home that I go to when I was back, you know.
Come early. That's where they have happy hour. Oh, when is your happy hour?
We do it 7 days a week, 4 to 6. I just got out of a concept meeting where I'm going to revise our late night and happy hour probably in the next couple of weeks. I want it to be open later, and I'm really trying to gravitate towards grabbing all the businesses in Redmond Town Center that are closing at 9 by offering a half off all my appetizers from 9 to close. 7 days a week. Good stuff.
Looking at their bar.
I hope they come.
Yeah, definitely. Looking at their bar menu, now I won't tell you what it is, you just have to come down here, but it's very, very reasonable. And it's one of the things Larry and I, when we go out, we believe in the power of the happy hour. So the prices are really good, and the drink is really nice too.
I guess I've become a foodie. I don't know, but I like to try a lot of different things and a lot less of the same flavor. And so that's what I think happy hours are great for, is that I can try 5, 6 different items with my friends and really get to experience different flavors and different renditions that a chef puts out. And
a lot of restaurants are starting to accept that. I know a lot of times when we've gone to restaurants, you know, and we started going, you know, we're going to have this, we're going to have that, and then they're like, that's it. It's like, well, no, when do you keep going?
Yeah.
And then they look at you like, you're not going to have full plate? No, we're going to try and keep going. And sometimes it's not uncommon to have 6 dishes.
Well, when my husband and I were younger, we were just going to be
you get to explore with less risk too. You get to try things that you wouldn't normally try, and it just gives you an avenue to, you know, without committing to a $50 entree that you're not going to like, you can just try something.
Exactly. Okay, the next socially savvy listener story. I love this question. They write in, I think I found rude at cooking. It's been here when I go out and I'm paying for fast service, which, by the way, otherwise I would make it myself or get it to go, I'm paying for service. If you're going to work in service, you have one thing to remember. When I order it, I want it as soon as possible. There's no if, ands, or buts. If you have to talk with someone, make them walk with you while you're doing your follow-through with the request that's been given. If you're going to blatantly ignore the request, don't let the customer watch you through it. Seriously, can't believe I even have to commit this to work or to paper. Service needs to serve. That means putting someone else's needs before you. This is one of the things, one of the mistakes I think lesser venues run up against is when you're training your staff and understanding people aren't blind. And if they, for instance, I know that the backstory of this particular customer had ordered french fries and they brought over a small thing of ketchup, and so they asked for more ketchup. The wait staff person proceeded to walk about 25 feet away and start a conversation with the security guy while the customer was walking. And they're waiting for the ketchup so they could eat their fries, and the fries are getting cold. And the other person at the table is continuing to eat the fries without the ketchup, and this person is watching and watching and watching. And it's just like, you're 20 seconds. You could have walked over to the kitchen, have them walk with you if you really need to talk to them, and take a bit of the ketchup. Well, the customer walked out. Just absolutely livid. Because they sat there and watched them blatantly, have no regard for what happened.
Water, too. You know, walking around and, you know, the glass is empty and they just walk past you 5 or 6 times.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, I think we have to be realistic that we recognize that sometimes you do miss people and things happen, but at the same time, be aware of your surroundings when you're in the service. I mean, I'm in the service industry for my day job. I have to be very, very aware. When I work, we get very, very busy, and one of the first things I do if there's, I walk into a situation where there's a lot of people, I will ask who the next person is, and I will take care of them, and I will take a moment, and I will actually not only make eye contact, but if I can, put my hand on them and say, hey, come to be right with you. I'm sorry, we're a little bit busy. Come to be right with you. And you make eye contact with every single person within your range so that they know that they're important. And when you do that, people will give you all the grace in the world. They'll give you so much leeway. It's amazing.
Well, a part of that from the deal before is some people aren't as keen on it, but they can be trained on it, learn at it, and maybe as a fellow coworker, maybe that's something to help your coworkers out, especially if you're, you know, you're friends with them. maybe help them and say, hey, while you're doing this and going and doing this, maybe glance at your tables and look at certain things each time you go by them. And that way you'll notice these things and you'll start learning them and picking them up.
I don't know which is worse, and maybe you guys can tell me, being ignored by a server or having a server that constantly interrupts you?
The server that constantly interrupts you is a very simple thing. You could just, you know, walk out and then have to go over and say, you know, we're having a little bit more of an incident, and could you please have them set by a little bit faster early? And then that's when you'd be really good at flipping. So the tougher one is when they're not coming to the table, people automatically get defensive and they're like, well, I have to do this.
Hands down, being ignored.
Being
ignored. Hands down. That is what. Going right into, just waiting that 10 minutes or whatever. Someone forgot about you, doesn't know you're there. It's not being greeted, and my phone's through the cracks. That destroys your experience from the get-go, and you're looking through the negative eyeglasses after that. Too much interaction. I can give you pretty apparent hints that I don't want you at my table, but I can fix that. I can't fix being ignored.
Sure. Well, you can as long as you begin. If you're being ignored, you can fix some matchups. Like, say, if you're with your customer and find a way in a very positive way to get a hold of your manager and say, hey, you know, I don't know if we're just going to go back. Communicate it early so that you can address it.
Manager with his fault
can't
figure it out before you have to ask.
We had a busboy one time come by and kept taking our wine glass, kept grabbing it. We were at a restaurant downtown. And kind of, I finished, you know, and I let it go down and walk away and go grab it. And be like, so the waiter would come by and go, where'd your glass go? Well, the busboy took it. He put a glass down. He finished the glass, he took it away. And we were kept counting just to see how funny it would be, you know.
Well, it let me see what you just put in on that note. It's socially unacceptable. Socially unacceptable. To take expensive without food. I don't care if there's anonymous and no limit about expensive.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who get really sensitive about it. And, you know, I understand that they're trying to be effective, but I also know that some people know some bars are just pushing.
No, it's true. It's like, especially with the wine. You talked earlier about counting your wine and how many you have. Sometimes I like that last little swallow before I leave. And that's, you know, it's like, that's fine. Don't take it. Maybe it's a more complex wine, you know?
Well, sometimes I do that with beer. I will leave just a little bit left in there because I want you to come and ask me if I want another one. Because if I drink that and I'm thirsty for another sip of my beer, but you don't come for a little while, well, I want to know that you're on their way to get me another one before I take that last sip. I like to enjoy my beer.
You know what we got on the...
I actually have a good story. I learned this as a server long ago when I went to take a martini off the table, and it was a lady of age, and it had just a drop or two in that little divot at the bottom of the martini glass, and my hand was smacked so hard by the it threw me back. I was like, she's like, don't you take my gin? I'm not done with my gin. I was like, okay, I get it now. Ask before you move.
I don't know how many times you've already said it, but we're talking about the public and just that communication. It is socially acceptable to ask a question. When you're serving and you're looking at leading food, it's like, it is never unacceptable to ask a question. May I? Is it okay? Are you ready? If you feel like you're getting more resistance, then maybe just close your eyes.
So again, Chef Price and my sous chef Lance Dahl, they came up, gave us some other stuff, and it's just next level stuff. These are risotto cakes, a little shiitake mushroom over the top, Formaggio cheese sauce, your traditional prawn cocktail.
I asked them to go heavy on the horseradish. I just think my cocktail's better that way. Our filet mignon flatbread, a little diced bell pepper.
Did you say filet mignon flatbread?
Filet mignon.
Oh,
flatbread.
It's a steak pizza.
It's a steak pizza. It is. But we call it a flatbread. It's got three different cheeses on there, Formaggio, Parmesan, mozzarella, caramelized onions, filet mignon sliced up, seared medium rare. We're going to drink some wine with these.
Well,
first I chose this one because we're doing a really fun thing out in Woodinville, close to Woodinville, and as many wineries sign up for this, we're going to pair up with these guys. So pretty much we're going to do Brian Carter Cellars tonight. We have his Tuneroso. Brian Carter does his whole stick is that he does old world style wines, Washington fruit, Tuneroso, obviously, super Tuscan style, a lot of Sangiovese, Northwest Spin, adding a little bit of Syrah. I think he has a little Cabernet in there. The reason why I chose him is because he's partnered up with us that if you show your Spazzo dinner receipt at his tasting room, your tasting's free.
Oh, nice.
And if you show his tasting room receipt here at Spazzo, you get an appetizer on us. And I want to build that out to as many wineries that are willing to join up with me, just to cross-promote each other.
Write that down.
You know, it's a fun deal. These guys are doing great things out in Woodinville. We're close to Woodinville. I'm a strong believer that our wine list needs to represent Woodinville in a really passionate way. We've just added 60 wines to our wine list from Woodinville. This is one of them.
Oh, nice.
And outside of all that, it tastes really good.
It does. I haven't tried it before. I'm smelling it, but I wanted to reiterate. I love the interaction when I learn how companies are working together to give an extended experience to everybody. You know, to come in to have dinner and to have the bonus that you get to go out wine tasting and it's comp. You know, that is such a gracious way to say thank you. And vice versa. You know, to go into a wine tasting and you're wine tasting with your buddies and then find out, hey, here's a complimentary card for a free appetizer at Spazzo. It's just encouraging a social environment, a social experience with we really appreciate you.
Yeah. And keep in mind, when you've said it before, keep in mind when you go take a tasting, you're not paying, you know, their price just so they can, like, make money off you. You're paying for the wine.
Yeah.
Remember, a tasting, usually most tasting rooms, if you do a full flight, that's about almost two glasses, between a glass and two glasses of wine. Keep that in mind when you look at this little, teeny, 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 tiny portion. If once you drink all of them, that's a full glass.
Oh, and I think another thing that people have is Washington wine. They started they were passionate about it. I mean, Washington winemakers, for the most part, are very passionate. They make wine because they love it. There are very few wineries that I know of that are all in it for the dollars.
Right.
So when they are doing their tasting, they're just barely covering their costs. I mean, they're so passionate about sharing their wines with you that they're like, here. I mean, I can't tell you how many wineries I've walked into, and they're like, you know, no, we're confident today. There's no reason, there's no wine. That personality, the person that was maybe the last people, maybe were the first people, maybe they just like to smile. They're just so excited to hear something.
These are artists that are sharing their crafts.
It is
really
amazing.
They get proud about it. They're going to make their attempt at the best of the means that they have available to them. You know, some of them have more capital behind them and they can do higher-end wine, but I think we're really blessed to have this little place called Woodinville right by us because we have dozens and dozens of what are just literally a couple years past being garages winemakers that are making stellar, world-class wine. And
limited run.
Right. You know, so I'm happy to be a restaurant that close to them because I can have them in my restaurant. I can have them come and do winemakers events.
Well, I'm going to have all of our wineries contacting me. Yeah,
do it.
We like that idea.
Do it.
Because you've also got Sister, which is about 25 minutes away, Carnation.
Mm-hmm.
There's some up in Monroe. I mean, there's a lot on this whole corridor that, I know, two wineries for sure, and that's the third one that I wasn't kind of trying to remember my name.
Yes.
Wonderful, clean little places, and they love being a part of the whole Washington
wine. So I was going to, when Corey's driving some of the flatbread there, but I was going to ask him, you know, again, here's another attention to quality. Everybody's had their shrimp cocktail, always.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm a firm believer, you know, like, I'm sorry to use an old saying from Lagasse, you know, flour just becomes salted, water just becomes salted. When you taste just the shrimp by itself without any of the sauces, it actually has flavor. And that has to come from your chefs when you prepare it. You know, when you do a shrimp cocktail, folks, you you boil it in a water or a brine or something. That's where some of the flavor comes. Shrimp, unless certain shrimps have certain different flavors, this has got a nice texture, not overcooked. I mean, the chefs did a wonderful job on this. Well, the horseradish got me. I don't know about you guys. I would take it back.
We're a firm believer of the large gulf prawns, you know, the U-12s, the big guys. You know, I could put little ones and line that dish all the way around, but I want wild factor. I want a big, massive prawn. And we prep a whole lot more and less. You know, I always want fresh product and good stuff. I'd rather sell out every night than, you know.
Here's something we can talk briefly on. So, as a restaurateur, is it better to... is it better to run out, or is it better to have too much? And you can either say on a regular, in my opinion, if it's on the menu, unless it's a special item, you know, I hate for it to run out. I mean, granted, if it's 11 o'clock at night, you get very close, that's different. But at 7 o'clock, you know, is it better to run out of special, or have it in house? So it's kind of like, I know that's a touchy subject with a lot of different
restaurants.
Well,
that's the tightrope that is the restaurant business. It is. Understanding you put a menu out there, people have the expectation that it's there, but at the same time, you wrestle with the fact that you only want to put out the freshest product that you can put out. You know, I never want to, if I can't, even if I had plenty of this prepped and I thought the product was not good, I'm still going to 86 it and not serve it to you because that's my reputation. So I'd rather prep more and prep more often, or prep less
right.
And prep more often so that I can give you a better dish in front of you. And if I have to run out and say, you know what, it's just not the quality that I want to serve you, I'm going to do that. So I understand the ramifications of it, perception.
Yeah.
I
actually appreciate that. I mean, that's one of the things that I think when you're serving a new restaurant and you're trying to do something like that, people in the restaurant will know who they are and understand why they may or may not. And again, you know, if you have a consumer that's talking about the product. Okay, so we've talked about the shrimp, we've got this other fabulous dish in front of us, we've got the
flatbread.
The flatbread, which we
had. Keep calling it baked pizza.
It's
just filet mignon flat.
But this other dish over here, what is
that? Risotto cake. Lance Bell, my sous chef, came up with these. I asked for something simple flavors, but delicious flavors. Risotto is a very delicate thing to work with. You can overcook, undercook, very easy. It should be a little al dente. But really, he came up with this three different cheese, basically DiMaggio, the sauce that was over the top of it. It was very flavorful, very creamy, and he threw the shiitakes on the top just to really kind of send it home. This, again, probably the number two appetizer in our last month with our guests.
For somebody who has a limited taste, you know, this whole social media experience for me has been tough because I'm constantly trying to get new food. This is amazing. I think that looks like
simple and delicious.
Uh-huh.
And he hit it out of the park. He nailed exactly what I wanted from him. And, you know, he's helping us create a pretty good menu.
People are laughing right now because our staff has been so effective in pulling the expedition because, of course, we've got all the gear and stuff.
Isn't it nice?
No, I love taking all of our
dirty
stuff. I like looking around
this channel planning. You know, and the other thing, something that we like, we've talked about this before in past shows, is simplicity in the food. You don't have to be too crazy. And I'm not talking about multiple components. I'm talking about simplicity of the quality food. You know, the flatbread is not overly flavored, not overly covered with cheese and all that, which is different than a pizza, that's why it's flatbread. It's definitely delicious.
Very good food. Okay, so there's one thing that I think I've never been a part of. You definitely have to come in. It's great for a date, for a date night, for the local school, you know, for local business. If this would be this perfect fifth hour location, come with us, you know, or we call it fifth quarter. All the parents after the football game would come to our place to talk about the game, enjoy, you know, the junior senior experience. And this is set up so well. I would definitely start.
I would love to have everybody, and I just want to say on behalf of my staff and the restaurant that we're pretty honored. hard that you chose us to do your 1 year anniversary.
Are you kidding? We love you guys. Thank you so much. Okay, well, we are got a few more minutes left of the show. We're going to wrap up with a couple of highlights of our this last year. We talked a lot about what is socially acceptable and what is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And we have a few of our favorites, so
thanks.
I think we should go through all of them.
Before you begin, we just got to make sure we say this is also brought to you by Cascade Ice, only 2 calories. Yummy stuff. You know, I actually got our daughter kind of hooked on it a little bit. We had a few extra. She was drinking. She's like, that's really nice. It's not as sweet as, you know, the cola. So you got to get some in.
What was fun about them is they do all kinds of flavors, grapefruit, lemonade, they do berries. But they also do that. So if you're looking for that beer, you know, grab a bottle of vodka and one of their mixers, you're good to go.
Yeah. Definitely. So, highlights from last year. I think one of the favorite ones that I just love to talk about is hosting events with somebody else's other event. So we have a mutual friend where she puts on a end of the month event at another hotel, and everybody hooks up for that.
Well,
yes, and another person was kind of treating it as a networking event, all that. Well, this person got banned. Yes. And to get back, he decided, or she decided that they'd have an event of the same type, of the same date, at the same time. Yeah, that did not work. Yeah.
So, I remember when that happened, and here's the thing, if you feel like, for whatever reason, you're not fitting in a particular social environment, don't take it out on the friend that's the host. You know, create your own event. Don't put yourself in opposition to somebody else, because you're going to be the one who's expert that you're going to make it about yourself. Again, being social is about making people around you comfortable and making an environment where people are going to enjoy you.
Which leads to the next one. You're in a social environment. Not to talk about how much you make or how much bonus you make. You know, we like right now. I didn't tell you guys about the price of the menu. No, you guys should come and experience. It's not trying to say that it's high or low. It's a very reasonable price. Use your knowledge. We were again, Toby and I, and our other friends, we hang out a lot. You know, it's I get it. There's a difference between, dude, I really made a good commission, you know, I just love it, I can now get that car or whatever. That's one thing, but to sit and say, yeah, you know, I got 15K off those posts. No, it doesn't work. Yep. So.
Okay, what are my other favorites? Take people and take tickets, they're not actually in the commission. There are those people who do that, you know, life is beautiful, I appreciate you for who you are, kind of a truth. Okay, that's cool. And they're taking every little girl from a picture, trying to show off everything that they got. People, okay, there's no way to press this. Wrong is wrong. Stupid. It's not something you do in the public. It's something that they just make you do with any other
person. Yeah. Another one. Drinking. We're back to drinking again. Jeez.
I know.
It's like we're in a social environment, and I want to say thank you for having the food for us today.
And it's amazing beverages they go with it, because I love how they mix the place.
It was my pleasure. I got impressed.
And so I bet you find this too. I bet it's on you. So you have a bunch of people, and they're all kind of going, oh, this is on me, you know, and okay, fine, this one class. And then somebody calls the server over, I'll have another one, to put it on that tab. And it's socially unacceptable to do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you ran into that.
Yeah, and it's up to the service manager to kind of manage that. And typically, it's like Kelby was saying, it's about communication. If I'm hosting a party, a good restaurant or a good server is going to walk into a different open bar or whatever, have that communication with the host prior to that situation. Where would you like it? What price? How many drinks each? You know, you don't want to cross that really awkward moment of what can I eat? How's he looking? He wants another cocktail. Is it the right thing to do? And that can all be subdued just by having a conversation at the beginning of the event.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see here.
Socially savvy was socially savvy, and I think there's a lot of people here at our table that can agree to this. It's okay to say no on a Facebook invite.
Yeah. Oh my God.
How do you do that?
Oh yeah, how do you do that? It's called decline. Sorry.
Decline. I don't use the button, but then, you know.
There is a meaty button, and that's what I'm a big fan of, because some things are so far out there. So hit the meaty button, and you can always change it to a yes or a no later.
Yes.
That you can change it.
And trying to change it, if you miss the maybe button, which, you know, if you can't do this, we're much more happy to have a maybe than we are to have a yes and no show up. Try to adjust that maybe, you know, 24 to 48 hours, if at all possible. If you can't, just say, you know, make a little bit of a maybe, you know, I'm really going to try to get in there if my freaking is really good. That is so appreciated, especially in the social media world where, you know, we have venues that we've booked, and we're trying to let them know how much we expect to have. The people, I still get and appreciate that they're trying to show support for your event, but you don't know when you have 30-20 people show up. It just makes you need to
make. All right, here's another one of our socially unacceptable, is the attire.
Oh, good Lord.
We've had men. Well, you know, we're at a nice restaurant here now. You know, show up in dress pants, or blue jeans and a decent shirt. But I think management would frown upon, you know, t-shirts that have wording that's not exactly acceptable. Same thing with women. You know, yeah, you may look cute in that cocktail dress, but not necessarily acceptable here.
I don't need to lose neckline plunging down there, and I don't need to wear a cocktail. Like, don't need to lose
The other one is, I'm sure, you know, here. Oh, hold on. No? Oh, he's going to pass it now.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot
pole. Well, there's another one. Being over here in Redmond, folks, we're near Microsoft, and is name dropping. You know, no, you really don't know Bill Gates. Really.
Okay, well, 90 seconds. Thank you for being a part of this last year. We so appreciated your story. We're really looking forward to going into this next year and you know, take to the next level, bringing more great places to eat, to socialize, to visit with. For those who showed up, they're going to enjoy some daily sweat. We're going to be doing some drawings. So if you're listening, please give us your business card.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Corey.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.